Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of Scientific Instruments.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen. Joel's unavailable, so Andrew is going to be with us. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Dr. Stan. Pleasure to be with you, as always.
Well, love to have you, and why don't you pick up the story? What is the information in this week's World Affairs Brief?
Well, the first story in this World Affairs Brief is actually four stories rolled into one, because it's all about the scandal swirling around the White House. We say the most corrupt presidency in U.S. history is finally getting the negative spotlight that it deserves. Obama, with the help of powerful protectors in high places, has previously been successful at deflecting huge scandals relative to his foreign birth, his phony Social Security card, and even the Fast and Furious gun-running fiasco. Now, however, four more scandals have emerged to taint the White House, and Obama's handlers are working overtime to present the alien-in-chief as an indignant protector of justice, shocked that these things could happen on his watch. It is probably only because these latest scandals are less threatening to Obama directly that the media, ever protective of the government side of events, is giving them considerable coverage. Even with the negative coverage, the core truths are still being omitted, which is the standard media tool in a cover-up. Scandal number one, the IRS as a political weapon. With the news that the IRS was targeting Tea Party groups for long delays and extra scrutiny in their applications for tax-exempt status, the LA Times noted that, quote, Obama denounced the targeting of conservative groups by the Internal Revenue Service as, quote-unquote, inexcusable and pledged to, quote, do everything in my power to make sure nothing like this ever happens again, end quote. In reality, this is not the first time. The IRS has been a political tool of persecution for years. Dissidents on government policy have often had to fear yearly audits by the IRS as a form of political harassment. Feigning surprise and anger, he continued, quote, Americans are right to be angry about it, and I am angry about it, he said. I will not tolerate this kind of behavior in any agency, but especially in the IRS, given the power that it has and the reach that it has into all of our lives, end quote. Then, in typical fashion, Obama forced the resignation of the interim head of the IRS, Stephen Miller. However, in reporting this, the media forgot to mention Miller was just a few weeks away from leaving anyway. And because he had worked his entire career for the IRS, he will still get his regular pension. The second official to step down over this controversy, Joseph Grant, was promoted to Commissioner of Tax-Exempt Organizations only 2 days before the IRS confirmed the inappropriate targeting. Fox News revealed that his predecessor, the official in charge during the instances of targeting, is now in charge of an equally dangerous division. Quote, the Obamacare official in question, Sarah Hall Ingram, had been serving as Commissioner of the Office responsible for tax-exempt organizations from 2009 to 2012. The division included the group that targeted Tea Partiers and has since left to serve as director of the IRS's Affordable Care Act division. That unit is responsible for enforcing parts of the health care law, including the fines associated with the so-called individual mandate, the requirement to buy health insurance, end quote. But what about Lois Lerner, who ran the tax-exempt organization's division, which is at the core of the scandal? Why didn't Obama fire her if he was so concerned about justice? She walked away with bonuses last year of over $42,000 while overseeing this politically motivated attack on the right. Instead, we get apologies from the IRS, which only serve to validate conservatives' fears of politically motivated IRS enforcement and regulation. House Republican leaders, incensed, vowed to investigate, but the internal auditor of the IRS was quick to head off such an investigation by publishing its whitewashed funding this week, according to a CBS report, quote, ineffective management allowed the Internal Revenue Service to single out conservative organizations for excessive review of their tax-exempt statuses, according to a report by a Treasury Inspector General, The IRS, quote, used inappropriate criteria that identify the Tea Party and other organizations applying for tax-exempt status based upon their names or policy positions, end quote. Of course, the larger question is who wrote the criteria, who enforced it, and who and why didn't anyone see that this was illegal? Continuing the CBS report, the report's author, TIGTA, the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration, asked various officials and IRS personnel, quote, if the criteria were influenced by any individual or organization outside the IRS, end quote. All of these officials stated that the criteria were not influenced by any individual or organization outside the IRS, the report read, end quote. But that's not the point. Whether anyone outside the IRS influenced this criteria, the issue is who within the agency did so and who gave the marching orders. Wider problems found at the IRS. The Washington Times found out in their investigation that the IRS targeting scheme involved more than just a few conservative organizations. It was designed to target every group that was perceived to be a critic of government. Quote, the Internal Revenue Service's scrutiny of conservative groups went beyond those with Tea Party or Patriot in the name, as the agency admitted Friday, to also include ones worried about government spending, debt or taxes, and even ones that lobbied to, quote, make America a better place to live, end quote, according to new details of a government probe. The investigation also revealed that a high-ranking IRS official knew as early as mid-2011 that conservative groups were inappropriately targeted, nearly a year before then-IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman told a congressional committee that the agency wasn't targeting conservative groups. End of the Washington Times quote. Shulman should be hauled before Congress and charged with perjury. In fact, the targeting of conservative groups occurred under Shulman, not Miller. Miller was obviously fired simply to give Obama an excuse to appear as if he was doing something. But firing a scapegoat won't appease Republicans on this one. Joe Battenfield wrote this in his article, Obama's attempt at damage control laughable. Quote, feigning anger, firing an unknown bureaucrat, and fleeing the podium won't cut it with voters or stop the hemorrhaging of the scandals that have spawned a Watergate-like feel around the Obama administration. There was a certain panicky look about the way the president quickly delivered a rare evening White House statement to try to quell the growing outrage over the IRS targeting of Tea Party groups. The move showed how damaging the scandal has become to Obama's second term and maybe even his presidency. But Obama took no questions and, more importantly, no responsibility for the ugly episode of the federal government abusing its power for political reasons. This was just political theater designed to distance Obama from something that happened on his watch. Obama sounded a lot angrier, scolding Republicans for blocking his gun control bill, than he did standing at the podium last night in a belated attempt at damage control. Even worse, Obama had the gall to warn any critics in Congress to, quote, treat the IRS with the responsibility it deserves and in a way that doesn't smack of politics or partisan agenda. In other words, Republicans...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Well, Dr. Dan, and our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen, and who's simply talking about the scandal that they're having in Washington, D.C. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, everything's going to be done to make you feel that they're doing something. And it's all a mirage. They've been doing this for years and harassing conservative groups. Richard Nixon did the same thing. It didn't stop with Richard Nixon, but, of course, it's just gotten to excesses under Obama, and they're doing everything to keep the American people from understanding the total depravity that exists in the IRS and many other government agencies and how they are used for political purposes to certainly intimidate anybody who dares to speak out against government and, of course, to allow the steady expansion of government control over your life as we move from freedom towards fascism. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Yes, and the second scandal that is swirling around the White House recently is, of course, Benghazi, the altered story. This was covered in detail in last week's brief. The latest iteration is that the White House has released a bundle of emails supposedly showing that there was no intentional cover-up by the White House or State Department. In fact, there is much evidence that the administration deliberately mischaracterized the attack as just an angry demonstration in response to an anti-Muslim video produced in America in order to cover up for the fact that the U.S. was secretly using the Benghazi annex to store and transfer weapons to Syrian jihadists, and that competing Muslim extremists were intent on capturing the stash. Much within the emails is redacted. And according to the Daily Caller, none of the crucial emails from the first 2 days after the disaster were released. Does anyone really believe the White House would release every communication without filtering out the incriminating evidence? Predictably, there's nothing in the emails about the stand-down order given to various rescue forces preparing to fly into Benghazi as the battle raged. That's the most explosive issue of all, and it's not being pursued by Congress or the media. The more evidence that sees the light of day, the more the White House is being embarrassed. A new book by Admiral James Lyon, on duty during the Benghazi attack and forced to retire, reveals that the body of the slain ambassador was paraded through the streets of town for 5 hours by the attacker. The government maintains the wounded ambassador was taken to the hospital, which now turns out to be a bald-faced lie. However, Lyon's new book is tainted by his buying into a fairly wildly concocted excuse for the attack, which was supposed to be a staged hostage exchange for a terrorist prisoner known as the Blind Sheik. As the story goes, the terrorists were supposed to have been allowed by Obama aides to kidnap the ambassador, which would then give Obama the excuse to broker an exchange to get him back, so that it wouldn't appear that the U.S. was knowingly releasing a terrorist prisoner. Ostensibly, this was also to boost Obama's approval ratings during the re-election, much like other so-called October surprise antics during previous presidential elections, such as the Iran hostage release that was delayed to help Reagan get elected. I'm not buying the story, Joel says. If the U.S. had wanted to give up the ambassador in a fake hostage trade gimmick, it would have set it up so the ambassador could be captured en route in his vehicle, not by an open assault on the annex compound, which would risk killing and wounding the hostage target, as happened. We may never know the real reason, but I believe it had to do with covering up the U.S.-sponsored arms traffic to the Syrian rebels, which the U.S. denies has happened. Scandal number three, the Associated Press telephone records obtained without a warrant. The Associated Press dropped a bombshell on Monday, revealing that Justice Department, quote, secretly obtained 2 months of telephone records of reporters and editors, end quote, including the Associated Press bureaus in New York City, Washington, D.C., Hartford, and at the House of Representatives. Naturally, the Associated Press and others in the media regard this as a, quote, massive and unprecedented intrusion, end quote, a violation of the rights of the free press and a violation of law. Glenn Greenwald of the UK Guardian specializes in analyzing matters of U.S. government violations of the U.S. Fourth Amendment against unreasonable search and seizure without a warrant. He says, quote, the ACLU last night condemned the Department of Justice's act as, quote, press intimidation, end quote, and said it constitutes an unacceptable abuse of power. The Electronic Frontier Foundation denounced it as a, quote, terrible blow against the freedom of the press and the ability of reporters to investigate and report the news, end quote. The New York Times editorial page editor Andy Rosenthal called the Department of Justice's actions outrageous, while Washington Post executive editor Marty Baron said they were shocking and disturbing. Even Democratic Senator Pat Lee, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said, I am very troubled by these allegations and want to hear the government's explanation. End of the Guardian quote. The public isn't going to get an explanation because the issue is both complex and filled with legal traps, should the administration ever admit how much they survey the American public. As I detailed in last week's brief, the government records everything pertaining to digital communications, according to several highly placed whistleblowers, and almost all phone conversations are now digital. I can assure readers that the only way the Associated Press found out about this is through a whistleblower within the Department of Justice or other agency. While the government records all data and stores it, it doesn't actually have people listening to all those trillions of data bytes. Computers sift through the data looking for keywords and phrases and build databases of information on groups like criminals, enemies, allies, and particularly dissidents on the right or left wing that are concerned about constitutional rights and civil liberties. But the government wants to go into the records and when the government wants to go into the records and actually retrieve the conversations, they have to initiate a database search, specifying the calls and time periods that pertain to a certain set of telephone numbers and all the other connections made through those numbers. In order to do that, someone in the Department of Justice must have initiated a search to find all the telephone numbers and therefore the records associated with the Associated Press. And that higher-level search was what some whistleblowers saw and recognized as an illegal intrusion into the freedom of the press. I believe that's what got passed down to the Associated Press, which started the scandal. Quote, numerous media reports convincingly speculated that the Department of Justice's actions arise out of a 2012 Associated Press article that contained leaked information about CIA activity in Yemen, and the Department of Justice is motivated in part by a desire to uncover the identity of Associated Press's sources, end quote. That may be true, but I can tell readers that the government always monitors reporters' phones specifically to know who they are talking to. The high-profile court case in the past trying to force journalists to reveal their sources are just so much political theater. The government knows not only who the sources are, but what they said. Why the charade? To promulgate the illusion that the press is still free in this country. And it isn't only that journalists' phones are surveyed. The government actually feeds secret information and leaks to journalists that are part of the dark side of government. Virtually every investigative journalist that writes stories about insider access to government secrets is on the take. You can't become a big-name investigative journalist without access to government, and that's part of the trap. Offering access and then money to feed the public with a government-filtered view of what it wants them to know. Greenwald continues, quote, the legality of the Department of Justice's actions is impossible to assess because it is not even known what legal authority it claims nor the legal process it invoked to obtain those records, end quote. That's because it isn't legal, except that Congress is induced from time to time via the phony war on terror to grant the government more carte blanche at spying on Americans, as long as the government can link it vaguely to terror. Of course, that's easy to do when the courts never demand an explanation, other than assurances from the Department of Justice that the evidence is secret and a matter of national security. Greenwald, quote, particularly in the post-9/11 era, the Department of Justice's power to obtain phone records is, as I've detailed many times, dangerously broad. It often has the power to obtain those records without the person's knowledge, as happened here, and for a widely broad scope of time, as also happened. There are numerous instruments that have been vested in the Department of Justice to obtain phone records, many of which do not require court approval, including administrative subpoenas and quote-unquote national security letters issued without judicial review, end quote. It is interesting to note that all of these powers and exceptions were gained by crises of terror or leaks of government wrongdoing that were used to prompt Congress to change the law and allow more government spying. Gradually, the public is getting used to increased violations of the Fourth Amendment, even though it is technically already dead. The government still goes through the token process of getting some warrants, just to assure the public and some honest judges that the government is doing some things within the law. Greenwald agrees with this, saying, quote, "None of those processes for obtaining these invasive records requires a demonstration of probable cause or anything close to it. Instead, the Department of Justice must simply assert that the records, quote unquote, relate to a pending investigation, a standard so broad that virtually every Department of Justice desire will fulfill it. Even if a court were involved in the acquisition of these records, and that's unlikely here, it typically does little more than act as a rubber-stamping functionary, just as it does when secretly approving the Department of Justice's request for FISA warrants. This is what is reaped from continuously vesting the U.S. government with greater and greater surveillance powers in the name of terrorism and other fears," end quote. There are a host of internal policies governing surveying journalists' phones, but they are as slippery as a fish, Joel says. Greenwald says, quote, "Attempts to enact legislation to protect journalists from this type of concealed investigative intrusion into their source communications have been defeated in part due to the DOJ's insistence that it exercises this power responsibly and only in the most extreme cases. Its own binding regulations require that all reasonable attempts should be made to obtain information from alternative sources before subpoenas are issued, that negotiations with the media shall be pursued in all cases in which a subpoena to a member of the news media is contemplated, unless the Department of Justice determines that such negotiations would pose a substantial threat to the integrity of the investigation in connection with which the records are sought, and that no subpoena may be issued." End quote. The White House has denied involvement in the acquisition of Associated Press's phone records, but Greenwald suspects that Attorney General Eric Holder personally approved it. It's not necessarily true, since the government routinely spies on all journalists, not only recording, but listening to what is said. That kind of surveillance gets handed down to subordinates. However, Holder would know about this and how serious a violation of law it is. Greenwald again. Quote, "What makes the DOJ's action so stunning here is its breadth. It's the opposite of a narrowly tailored and limited scope. It's a massive, sweeping, boundless invasion which enables the U.S. government to learn the identity of every person whom multiple AP journalists and editors have called for a two-month period. It's the very opposite of what the DOJ has long claimed its guidelines protect. EFF details how the DOJ's actions violated its own regulations for subpoenas to the news media." End quote. There are a lot of liberal journalists who really believe the government follows the law and that they are protected from illegal surveillance. All that is out the window now. Greenwald correctly notes that, quote, "If you talk to any real investigative journalist, they will tell you that an unprecedented climate of fear has emerged in which their sources are petrified to talk to them. That the Obama administration has prosecuted double the number of whistleblowers under espionage statutes as all previous administrations combined has already severely chilled the news gathering process," end quote. The chill and fear of government surveillance even affects Congress, especially those who don't always toe the line. Recently, on Cenk Uygur's show in the UK, Greenwald touched upon a warning U.S. Senators Ron Wyden and Mark Udall repeated to him about how they fear government. Quote, "We know how the Obama administration is interpreting its surveillance powers. If the American public knew, they'd be shocked by how radical and extreme these activities are. We can't tell you because we'll go to prison if we do," end quote. That immediately brought up a response from the audience. Do you really believe there is a credible threat of prison for a sitting U.S. senator who exposed a presidential power grab so radical that it shocks and disgusts the voting public? The threat of prison referred to by the senators could be directly related to revealing what the government claims is secret, but it could also be related to dirt the government has on most congressmen and threats to reveal those indiscretions. There are also threats about having someone unelected or, quote-unquote, other bad things that may happen to them or their families. People in Washington who are in the know realize that presidents and other high officials can break the law and get away with it, as long as they are part of the system that grants immunity and does the will of the globalists. The powers that be can also influence, buy, or muzzle any member of Congress who has knowledge of illegal acts simply by stamping secret on the paperwork.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back here in just a moment with Andrew Schauser.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
If you own a firearm, it's important to have proper training. Or if you're considering purchasing a firearm for self-defense, it's important to know the right person to train with. Josh at D&M TAC is a federally licensed firearms dealer, certified NRA instructor with a great firearms training course. Want more confidence with the operation of your firearm or to increase your precision and advance your level of training? This is the place. The hands-on in-depth classroom curriculum includes 4 hours of extensive range practice and basic firearms training, malfunction training, self-defense mindset, concealment training, and more, all at the greatest value in the gun training industry. If you want to learn proper firearm skills the right way, the first time, and want to surpass your current skill level, Josh at D&M TAC has the firearms training course for you. This course also qualifies you to apply for concealed carry permit and for advanced training. Beginner or advanced, tactical or defense, call 720-323-2534. That's 720-323-2534 and ask Josh about your KHNC listener discount. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Schauser, and a question was raised, would a sitting senator be actually put in prison for telling, coming out and telling the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, I know two congressmen who were sent to prison on contrived charges. One was George Hansen, and George was an honest man. He investigated the Iran-Contra scandal. He actually went to Iran when they had the hostages there and found out that the Iranians were anxious to release the hostages, and our government didn't want the hostages back, and they sent him to prison on trumped-up charges. And when he initially got out, he was willing to talk to people. Now he won't answer his telephone. He lives in constant fear. Another was Jim Trafficant, and they put him in prison for 7 years. They planted a man in his office who came up with all sorts of perjured testimony, and they sent Jim Trafficant to prison for 7 years on trumped-up charges. This is not imaginary. This is very real. But then maybe those who go to prison are lucky. Others have people have been killed. I've had a number of people on my program who've disappeared or certainly never been heard from after they were guests on our program and reveal the truth. This is the world we live in today, and people better start looking at reality rather than the ice cream in the sky view that we have. Everything's fine. Go right ahead, Andrew. Why don't you tell our listeners how they get in touch with your dad to get sample copies of the World Affairs Brief, subscribe to it, and get your dad's books, his excellent books on certainly on strategic relocation or on building a secure home, or securing a secure room in your home. Go ahead.
Thank you. The best way is for people to log on to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's with an S on affairs, all one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there they can see the news stories that we are finding interesting this week, some alternate news stories to help supplement people's knowledge of what's going on. And then there's a big link to subscribe to the World Affairs Brief, or if you are a subscriber, to access past issues of the World Affairs Brief, and the current one, of course. They can also email Joel at or editor at worldaffairsbrief.com and request a one-time free sample of this week's brief. And there are links on that website to our other website, joelskousen.com, which has quick links to each of our books. Strategic Relocation is the most popular, about all of the safe places in North America, and specifically within the United States. We spent a lot of time finding all of the threats and helping people relocate to mitigate as many of those threats as possible, and which places are the best, and more importantly, how to analyze your own situation to find your best place. And the other two books are how to establish a safe retreat once you find a safe place, which are The Secure Home, a 700-page book about how to improve your existing house, or to remodel your existing house, or to build a new house with the high security aspects. And if you're just installing a single room, there is the high security shelter, how to implement a high security shelter in the home. And that is just recently redone, and it is filled with all kinds of important facts and plans for people. And all of these books are more easily available to people probably by just contacting you directly, Dr. Stan, at Radio Liberty, right?
By calling us at 800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ladies and gentlemen, you really need to begin looking into the future. We're living in very uncertain times. I don't know what's going to happen, whether it's going to be a financial collapse, whether it's going to be an EMP attack. Whatever it will be, people need to be prepared for very, very difficult times. And certainly these books put out by Joel Skousen will help you begin to make your preparations for what lies ahead, so that you and your family can have an element of security. Although, I will tell you, the only real security you have is through our Lord. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you. The fourth scandal is the sexual abuse in the military. Obama claims to be outraged in the latest Pentagon report on the epidemic of sexual assault in the military. His outrage is feigned, just like the other scandals surfacing this week. And like the other scandals, they aren't going away despite the claimed anger of the commander-in-chief, as CBS reports. In the last 2 weeks, two service members have been accused of sexual misconduct. In both cases, the men had been in charge of preventing those types of crimes. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand of New York said, "We have arguably 26,000 assaults a year, but only 3,000 are even reported, and only a handful go to trial and result in a conviction," Gillibrand said. "So what we need to do is change the system so victims know they can receive justice," end quote, at end of CBS quote. Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Army General Martin Dempsey, said, "We're losing the confidence of the women who serve," and claimed that the increases in sexual assault were linked to the strains of war. We say nonsense. My dad says, having been a military officer in the Marines, I can tell you that the problem is the culture of sexual promiscuity that is fully imbued in military service. There is no morality in the armed services except don't get caught and don't embarrass us. Military officers have fully acquiesced to the long-held and flawed social science dogma that military men at war can't be expected to control themselves sexually, and thus a long litany of unwritten traditions have evolved to control the damage. The New York Times reviewed this week, saying, quote, in 1992, a young Navy lieutenant named Paula Coughlin said she had been sexually assaulted at the 35th Annual Tailhook Symposium in Las Vegas. Her complaints revealed an ugly side to the annual convention for the Top Gun aviators. 83 women and 7 men were later found to have been assaulted during the Raucous Party weekend in September of 1991. The resultant scandal forced the resignation of the Secretary of the Navy, the censure of several admirals, and the enactment of a reform agenda that stressed a zero-tolerance policy. Did it make a difference? More than 2 decades later, the news remains extremely discouraging. Last week, the Pentagon released a report estimating that 26,000 people in the military were sexually assaulted in the 2012 fiscal year, up from 19,000 in 2010. Making matters worse, the officer in charge of sexual assault prevention programs for the Air Force was arrested in Arlington, Virginia, and charged with sexual battery, end quote. And the problem hasn't gone away. It's only been exacerbated by putting a lot more women in close quarters with men, on ships, planes, and now on the front lines, including foxholes. But none of the news articles will criticize the politically correct notion of, quote-unquote, women in combat. At the unit level in the military, there pervades an undercurrent of small talk where men are eagerly fantasizing about what they're going to do on the next shore leave. You've seen it in tens of war movies. It's a lot worse in real life. It will become worse when these men are placed in close quarters with women in their units on the front lines. Quote, Navy Petty Officer Jenny McClendon tells of an interview of the abuse she...
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on.
Are you prepared for the coming chaos? Whether you are planning a strategic retreat or you have one in progress, Square Root Construction would be pleased to offer our assistance. With nearly 30 years of construction experience, Square Root Construction can help with design, engineering, and permitting issues, as well as a host of general contracting services from foundation to finish work. For a limited time, we are offering exclusive discounts to the listeners of Randy's program. For a no-obligation consultation, please call Doug at 303-517-8742 or drop an email to strategicretreats@gmail.com.
Brush Housing Authority in Brush reminds listeners to spend more time with an elderly member of our community. What better way to show you care than to remember a family member, friend, or neighbor? Checking on their welfare, making a phone call, or a simple visit can make all the difference in the quality of their life. That's from Brush Housing Authority, reminding listeners for housing programs, call 970-845-5046. That's 970-845-5046. That's Brush Housing Authority, wishing everyone a great, safe spring and upcoming summer. Tri Property Management in Greeley reminds everyone each year millions of children suffer from abuse. And although hundreds of cases still go unreported, behind the statistics are the lives of innocent children. Help conquer child abuse and report what you know to local authorities. Remember, your call could save a child's life. This message from Tri Property Management in Greeley for a full range of homes or apartments for rent. Call 970-352-1025 or go online at triplacestolive.com.
Well, Dr. Dan here, our guest is Andrew Skousen. We're talking about sexual immorality. Let's call it sexual depravity in the military. And, of course, basically, it was known long ago, if you started putting women into military units, combat units, is going to demoralize our society. The Russians tried it during the Second World War, and they gave it up. They said they would never do this again. Then they introduced it here. And the whole purpose is to simply destroy our military. It's doing a great job of it. We have depravity at the highest levels, right up to the very generals themselves, like General Petraeus. Go right ahead.
Well, most of the rapes and sexual assaults go unreported. And that's because the entire military chain of command is built around protecting the top commander of the unit from embarrassment. If you report a rape, it's going to cause hours of paperwork, a court-martial, and even a trial. People are going to have to be shipped home, and that means more work and hassle for everyone. Also in the military, there exists a presumption that everything that happens in a unit is ultimately the responsibility of the commanding officer. So the risk of getting sacked for not controlling your men is high, but only if it gets out in public, hence the motivation to not prosecute. Those are the kinds of excuses that motivate the cover-up. It's even worse when the officers are involved in the corruption. The bottom line is that if the military is going to expect soldiers to control themselves, and they don't, or live a high moral standard, then all women are going to be at risk. Don't let your daughters go into the service thinking they are going to serve some higher patriotic purpose. You'll just be putting them at risk of this kind of assault. I don't even recommend that your sons go. It's a highly corrosive moral environment, and they won't be serving our country, but rather the hidden globalist purposes of our leader. Finally, with all this, forget about the claims that Obama is going to be impeached over these storms that are swirling the White House. Impeachment is dead after the Clinton fiasco, and the Republicans are too controlled to do the job. Well, let's move on now to the immigration bill's hidden secrets. David Kravitz of Wired.com reports on the hidden biometric tracking language inserted into this bill that will be the harbinger of a biometric national ID. It's interesting to watch how these kinds of human tracking proposals keep showing up in different pieces of legislation when you can't pass it outright. It's as if there is a group of dedicated conspirators in the bowels of government preparing future Patriot Acts, NDAAs, or immigration bills like this well in advance. Certainly the congressmen who introduce the bills don't ever write them. David Kravitz, quote, "The immigration reform measure would create a national biometric database of virtually every adult in the U.S. in what privacy groups fear could be the first step to a ubiquitous national identification system. Buried in the more than 800 pages of the bipartisan legislation is language mandating the creation of the innocuously named photo tool, a massive federal database administered by the Department of Homeland Security and containing names, ages, social security numbers, and photographs of everyone in the country with a driver's license or other state-issued photo ID. Employers would be obliged to look up every new hire in the database to verify that they match their photo. This piece of the Border Security, Economic Opportunity, and Immigration Modernization Act is aimed at curbing employment of undocumented immigrants. The privacy advocates fear the inevitable mission creep, ending with the proof of self being required at polling places to rent a house, buy a gun, open a bank account, acquire credit, board a plane, or even attend a sporting event or log on the Internet. Quote, it starts to change the relationship between citizen and state. You do have to get permission to do things, unquote, said Chris Calabrese, a congressional lobbyist with the American Civil Liberties Union. More fundamentally, it could be the start of keeping a record of all things, end quote. For now, the legislation allows the database to be used solely for employment purposes, but historically such limitations don't last. The Social Security card, for example, was created to track your government retirement benefits. Now you need it to purchase health insurance. David Beer, an analyst with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, agrees with the ACLU's fears. Quote, the most worrying aspect is that this creates a principle of permission basically to do certain activities, and it can be used to restrict activities, he said. It's like a national ID system without the card, end quote. And end of the Wired.com quote. Conservatives remember well how both Presidents Bush and Obama promised to secure the border before offering amnesty to illegals. But they had no intention of doing so, and the border is still relatively wide open. Even the miles of fencing that have been built is mostly are mostly not wired for intrusion, and illegals often tear down sections or just use ladders to scale the fence without any response from the Border Patrol, which is purposely spread thin. Opponents use these lapses to claim that fences aren't any good, but they are, when implemented properly. And in the long run, they save a lot of money in enforcement manpower, not to mention the billions in rounding up and deporting thousands of illegals annually. Of course, the worst costs are the welfare, education, and health costs borne by the taxpayers for allowing illegals to stay unmolested in the country. This time around, the bill also pays lip service to protecting the border. But this week's rejection by the Senate panel of virtually all amendments specifying much less than a totally sealed border was telling. The Senate committee, half of which is constituted by the bill's sponsors, rejected Senator Mike Lee's, a Republican from Utah, requirement that border security gains be verified before any immigrant here illegally could gain legal status. Difficult as that may be, the administration would simply certify that what wasn't true. The Senate sponsors don't even want that accountability to a fence. The bill's backers say they must balance the need to protect the southern border with a desire to legalize 11 million unauthorized immigrants. They are purposely downplaying the numbers. The numbers of illegals in this country is at least 20 to 25 million. Quote, the current proposal, this is the back at thewire.com quote, the current proposal gives the Department of Homeland Security 6 months to develop a border fence and a separate border security plan. Once the government starts implementing those plans, it can also start processing applications for the new registered provisional immigration status, which is essentially a temporary work permit. Joel interjects. And of course, they never have to finish it, just start it. That's the ploy that George W. Bush played with the border fence. Continuing with the Wire.com quote, Grassley offered an amendment that would force Homeland Security to prove it had 90% effective control over the entire border for 6 months before offering the new immigration passes. Senator Jeff Sessions, Republican of Alabama, wanted to force the government to construct 700 miles of double-layered border fence.
Andrew, we're out of time. We'll let you go. Talk to you again next week. Bye-bye. God
bless. Thank you.
Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom-tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial-scale power. Great Plains Power is a full-service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom-designed system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at the Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of the Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's the Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the immigration bill is designed to destroy America. The real goal of the people who run this country is a multicultural, multilingual society merged into a one-world government. The subversives are in total control of this nation. Back in 1986, we had an immigration bill under the Reagan administration. And they said, look, there's only a million illegal immigrants here. We'll bring them in. We will secure the border. We will never have another amnesty. You can trust us. We wouldn't lie to you. We'll never ask for another amnesty. Well, actually, there were 3 million illegal immigrants at the time. And, of course, they've never secured the border. And they're lying to us then, and they're lying to us now. The real objective, of course, is to bring in countless millions of people. Right now, there are probably 20 million illegal immigrants in America, not the 11 million they talk of. And when you pass this, why, they'll be able to bring in all of their relatives. And so you're talking of bringing in 50 million more people who have no understanding of America, who will vote for the politicians who promise to give them the most. And, of course, that's how you end up having a dictatorship. You centralize all power in government. They want a multicultural, multilingual society. And where is the outcry? Where is the opposition? There is none. And people who try to speak out will come under tremendous, tremendous pressure to silence them and to keep the information from getting out. And if you're not involved, you're part of the problem, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. This is simply one of the attacks on America. We're under attack on all sides. Do you really care? Well, if you do, I hope you'll help me. As you know, we do 5 hours of talk radio a day. We have to finance our ministry through people who care about America. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You can join the Radio Liberty family and get our 4 best CDs of the month, or tapes of the month, and our monthly newsletter. You can subscribe to our newsletter. You may have a product you'd like to advertise with us. Certainly you can actually do lots of things. You can get our books, our 4 tape sets, our CDs, and distribute them on your own. You're welcome. Anything I've produced, if you purchase it, you can go ahead and reproduce it and get it out. We need to let people understand America is under attack today. There is no terrorist threat. They brought down those buildings, the Twin Towers and Building Number 7, and staged a attack on the Pentagon. No airliner crashed into the Pentagon. There wasn't any wreckage there. You can't put a major airline through an 18-foot hole. And where's the outcry from the American people? You can't crash a plane nose down into Shanksville, Tennessee, and leave a big hole in the ground and no wreckage? Oh, come on now, ladies and gentlemen. Watch Building 7 come down. Watch Building 7 come down. Understand that that was a controlled demolition. It was all controlled demolition. They killed all those people. And if they'll kill them, they'll kill you and your family as well. We're dealing with organized evil. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get my talks, certainly on Agenda 21, the covert plan on population control. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Go to our webpage where you can certainly watch our DVDs for nothing. You can listen to our radio programs 5 hours a day, or 4 hours a day there. And certainly you can certainly read our newsletters, but please tell others. You have to be on the front lines, as we are, letting people understand that the first is the whole line nation. And that is our first voice that is on destroying the land of the free and the home of the brave. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ.